hour two of the Titans offseason preview show. Floyd Reese, the general manager, Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, Teron Davenport, ESPN, all in the house, breaking down the Titans offseason, getting you ready. Of course, coming up, we've already got the Senior Bowl behind us. Upcoming, the NFL Combine, then free agency opens, then pro days, then the draft, and then OTAs. And before you know it, the Titans will be back at training camp trying to defend their spot as the AFC's runner-up. So we know the Titans aren't a perfect team. And in fact, really none of these teams are perfect teams, including Kansas City, the Super Bowl champion. So everybody has needs going into the offseason. So Floyd, we start with you on what your current needs for this Titans team are. And I would say quarterback is probably number one, because technically they don't have a quarterback under contract for next year. So keeping in mind with what the Titans already have as current free agents, they need to re-sign, plus other holes, how do you view their offseason needs where we sit today?
Well, I mean, they're going to have to take care of their free agent. And I think you go through, you always start the same, or I always started the same, which is they're sitting there right now, and they know who they've got a chance to sign, can sign, and the ones that are really, really going to be hard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the ones that are really, really going to be hard, you have to decide is, you know, the decision is, do I want to spend that much money on these guys? Mm-hmm. Or do I want to draft? You know, Derrick Henry wants $2 million more than I want to give him. Do I let him go ahead and enter free agency and turn around and draft, you know, Ohio State running back or whoever it is and go from there? That becomes the question. Assuming they can go ahead and you know, keep the guys that they want, which would, you know, would definitely be the four. And then of those other guys, like we were talking about a Correa, I always felt like you can work out a deal for Correa to make everybody happy. Sims, if you want to keep him, you can work something out there to be. Now, if some club jumps in and says, okay, I'm going to give him $9 million a year, then yeah, I see ya. Mm-hmm. You know, but whoever those other guys are, you can get. In my opinion, we've got to take care of the tight end position. Mm-hmm. Take care of the backup running back position. Take care of the backup quarterback. Get the speed receiver. Get the pass rusher. And get a corner.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's where I'm over here trying to contain myself from interrupting you. What do you do there?
Corner.
Corner.
Yeah.
I mean, so are you saying Logan Ryan? Hey,
you got.
Well, I think it's
love Logan, you and leave you.
Love you, but,
yeah, Logan is going to be one of those guys that we're just talking about. You know, I'm thinking this gut feeling. Logan really likes it here. We really like Logan here. Logan can play here. His versatility is his number one, you know, credential. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you want? You want me to play the run? Fine. You want me to play in the middle? Fine. Now, you want me to go out here and play man for man on this guy? Maybe I don't want to do that. But I do all that other stuff really good. So you take care of him. He's in here, and you find a spot for him. And maybe it's safety. You know, maybe he moves. Who knows? But you find a spot for him, and then I need a cover corner. I need a cover corner. Somebody that can run, somebody that can – you know, play against the stills, the guys that we have a tough time covering, the T.Y. Hiltons, those guys, you know.
You need somebody to turn and run.
Need somebody to just cover corner. Give me somebody speed. And finally, a returner.
Yeah.
You hit it on the head. We got to get somebody to help us in return.
So what if you could get both in one?
A corner and a returner?
Yeah.
That's fine with me.
In the draft.
Yeah.
C.J. Sanders.
Fine with me.
No, not wide receiver.
Hey, look, he'd give you a wide receiver and returner, man. You know?
No, you know, just kind of looking at it, and I want to take my hat off to you, Floyd Reese. You know, I think the reason why we won a Super Bowl, I think we won a Super Bowl in 1996. And the reason why I say in 1996 is because we had a core group of leaders, and we kept them. You got the Joe Bowdens. You had, you know, different guys, Bruce Matthews, Brad Hopkins. You kept those nucleus guys together. Then all of a sudden you just add a certain piece like a Javon Kearse, a Samari Rowe that just adds fuel to the fire. And I just think the Tennessee Titans now, they got to do exactly the same thing. Keep those guys together, Tannehill. Keep Henry and just add the pieces. Just like you said, corner. Get a fast receiver and get some guys in there that just add fuel to the fire. I mean, this year when they draft, they don't have to draft for a need. They can draft the best available player that's out there. And I just think they have a luxury if they just specifically do that.
And the unique thing about our team, I think, is if you look at them now and you say, okay, speed per position. You know, who's got the speed on your team per position? You go to Derrick Henry. You know, Derrick is really, really fast.
Adoree Jackson, Derrick Henry, and Khalif Raymond.
Yeah, Adoree should be the guy, you know, and I think can be the guy. But again, he missed so much time last year. I mean, that was just not his year, you know, not him. But the bottom line is we don't have a lot of speed. You know, we're not a speed team. So when we play the Houstons, teams that you got to start beating twice a year. You play the Houstons and Stills and those guys go on
Fuller.
The field. Whoa, back up now. You know, things have changed.
Right.
Well, now, you know, now Hopkins goes out and catches 15 for 250 yards because you can't cover underneath because you're in the deep post, you know.
Excellent point. That's excellent point. I think, you know, that cornerback position – And Chris, we were talking about this. You know, you need somebody in that nickel spot that could run, because when they move a Will Fuller into the slot or they move T.Y. Hilton into the slot, they get creative and find ways to create matchups. You got to have a guy that could run with you know, could bump inside and turn and run as well as cover that guy on the outside.
Right.
That's a key thing. There's some guys in the draft you could do that with, but. Yeah, I think that team speed, that overall team speed, is a huge area for improvement.
Shoot, we saw that against Kansas City when Logan had to be on Tyreek Hill. That's like me going against that dude across the table. I'm just kidding.
He ain't pointing at me. I'll say this. I give myself as much of a chance to stop Chris as I love you, man. As I give Tremaine Brock in order to stop Tyreek Hill.
I'm joking, man. I love you, man. I'm kidding.
I will say this, though. I don't disagree with the corner, but I do wonder in terms of allocating resources. Can you afford to pay another corner? If you bring Logan Ryan back, you've got Adoree Jackson. The Titans will pick up that fifth-year option, which will be a little bit of money. And you're already paying Malcolm Butler top dollar. So now are you going to be able to pay another corner in that regard?
Two guys that you could look at, right? One very similar to Logan Ryan as far as the complete being solid against the run, decent in coverage, and good as a blitzer, Mackenzie Alexander. From Minnesota.
Yeah.
That guy, you talk about a dog. He's a dog. And he comes from Clemson, so you know that technique is taught to press, right? I don't like evaluate by schools, but one thing I will say is there are certain schools, like, you know, guys out of Iowa understand blocking. Corners out of Clemson, they understand press coverage. Now, not all of them are good at it, Kadrea Tankersley, you know, but, you know, they still understand that it's something that you have to do.
Yeah.
So I think Alexander would be a good guy in that situation. Another one, if he could just stay healthy, Jason Verrett. The 49ers signed him. He couldn't stay healthy there. He was a first-round pick by the Chargers. Freakish athletic ability, but he's someone else that you could get at a bargain deal and give you that guy that could turn and run.
Yeah, okay.
And I think that's the kind of guy we're looking for, you know, somebody along those lines that could come in. Because if everybody comes back and everybody's fine, you've got depth.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes,
we found out this year, you know, when Malcolm goes down, now where are you going? And we talked about Sims a minute ago. I mean, I was a little disappointed in Sims. I thought this would be his opportunity to step up. He didn't quite step up the way I wanted him to. And so you end up going out and getting somebody else that just can't run.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a smart guy, do everything for you, but he just can't run, you know. So now you go from average speed to below average speed. Yeah. Now you're in trouble.
The other thing that makes both the pass rusher and that so important, in my opinion, is not only are you gearing yourself up to be able to compete with the Texans, if the Colts figure out quarterback, they're right back in the mix. Man. But also, I think you have to look at Kansas City. You have to look at who you're competing with, not just as your division teams, mm-hmm. but you have to look at Kansas City. They have to look at New England, obviously. Baltimore still up there towards the top. And I feel like the Titans have a good defense for a team like Baltimore. Mm-hmm. But they don't have a good defense for a team like Houston or Kansas City, and that's where that extra corner comes into play.
Yeah, and you got to have some speed. I mean, if you look at in the Super Bowl when you had the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs, look at what happened with Sherman.
Oh, that was bad.
Hey, he is a zone corner.
Amen.
And then they asked him to come up and press Watkins? Okay.
and Watkins said, Watkins said, I watched whoever it was they played the week.
Devontae Adams.
I just watched Adams, what he did. I did the same thing.
And he beat him by like, what, 7 or 8 yards?
Yeah. That was disgusting.
Showed you that you got to get some speed. And I think our secondary, they're great at technique and they're great on the intermediate routes. But if you look at the times they get beat, it's always somebody, you know, running by them. Just like last year when they went against Miami, Steals. Steals ran a post against Butler, and it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
We got to get some speed in that building.
No doubt about it.
Now, that being said, I know that everybody said, what kind of free agents? Everybody wants the best free agents. It's like the draft. The Titans aren't going to be able to get Chase Young. They're not going to be able to get Joe Burrow. They're not going to be able to get those kind of players. But I know my man TD.
Come on, T.
Has done his research.
Come on.
Who are his free agent targets? We'll get to that coming up next on the Titans Offseason Preview Show, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
What's the challenge of having a run like this and being as tight as this team is, but making, I guess, the smart business decision of we really need this guy or we maybe need to, you know, go in a different direction?
Well, I mean, I think it's always a two-way street, right? You have to want, you know, the player has to want to be here, and the team has to try to do its job to make sure that that fits with its plans, with the plans that John and I have. I would love to be able to give you answers to those questions, but, you know, for us, the free agent process is just starting, you know, for us to be able to evaluate and to see where you know, we may go. You know, that's something that John and I will do. I just can't give you any answers on that right now.
Mike Vrabel, and even if he could give us answers, I don't think that he would. Yeah. I don't feel very good there. But a man I know will give us answers. Teron Davenport, ESPN. So free agents, current free agents on other teams, and not just the best guys, although if the Titans signed Matthew Judon from the Ravens, you wouldn't hear me complain about it. Who are free agents out there that fit with what the Titans are looking to do, that fit with what this team needs and what will make this team better? Because I think we learned the free agent market, you can get guys that will come in as game changers. We saw Green Bay do that with their defense, with the Smith brothers. But then there are other guys that you get that people don't even really know that well who come in and all of a sudden have a huge impact on your football team. So when you look at the free agent market, TD, what do you see as far as the Titans are concerned?
Yeah, well, we mentioned a couple of pass rushers, and you talk about what the Smith brothers came in and did. Well, you know, if I'm Kyle LaFrakwell, I'm seeing red because I got 10.5 sacks for this team. Mm. I set the edge. I played well against the run. I did everything that you know, old Patton asked me to do, and then you turn around and you bring two guys in, and you don't even give me like a shot to build off of that. He's someone definitely. Now, the Titans, you know, I know they are aware of Fackrell. Reggie Evans, the former Sixer. Reggie Gilbert, you know, they made the trade to get him, and they just kind of, you know, wanted to pluck that tree to get a guy. So I think Fackrell is someone that could come in. He has that mindset, right, that high motor. I'll tell you this also. Mike Vrabel loves Max Crosby. And actually, my comp for Max Crosby coming out was who? Kyler Fackrell. So I think there's a match there. You know, and Vrabel's always going to have a thing for guys who have a high motor, who are pure effort guys. You know, all those really cool
tough
terms.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's a gym rat.
Just
he's gritty.
He was.
He's always got a street rat. You know, he's always going to have something for those guys. So I think Fackrell is definitely a guy to keep in mind. He'll be a pretty lower type of deal. Marcus Golden, we talked about him, and I said he's 29. He's actually 28.
Whoa,
now, here's the thing. We always get caught up on sacks, right? they're important.
Big stat.
He had 27 QB hits. And in addition to that, he helped influence, I think it was two interceptions. So it is about sacking the quarterback, but it's also about impacting the quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's why Golden is a guy. And let me tell you, man, I remember shaking his hand at the combine.
Ugh. Swallowed your hand?
It didn't swallow my hand. It was just thick. And I just was like, man, if you smack me, I'm going to have to go back and get like, we're not going to fight, man. I'll have to get something to come back to you with. So I imagine those hands being placed on other guys, you know, is going to produce good results.
Heavy hands. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Another guy just staying on the pass rush theme, Jordan Jenkins. He came out of Georgia. More of a 3-4 guy, super long arms. He's someone that is really good at extending, locking out. He had 8 sacks and 12 QB hits last year being like miscast.
He
was with the Jets.
Okay.
Miscast in that scheme. He's a pure 3-4 outside guy. Another one that will set the edge. You notice there's a theme here, right? Mm. Complete players.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Vic Beasley?
No. Rusher.
No, rush the no, pass. He's that see ball, get ball guy that you know, but nothing else.
Yeah.
So that's as far as the edge rusher side of things. I think when you look at corner, Jimmy Smith is an interesting name, but I don't touch him. Yeah. I think it goes back to what we said. Mackenzie Alexander, another guy to really look at that I think when Juan Thornhill went down, he earned extra money. And earned a look, and you know how it is, man. You always want to pluck from the championship tree. Kendall Fuller. He, at one point, before he got traded in that Alex Smith deal, he was a top five nickel dude. You need a guy in the nickel. You need a guy that could turn and run. You need a guy that's athletic. You need a guy that isn't afraid to put his nose in there against the run. That's your guy. So he's someone else that I would look at.
Well, let me challenge you on this. This is one position that we're really not talking about that can be really huge, offensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the situation with Conklin.
True.
So who do you see in the draft or even in free agency that can really be not just a guy with a big name, but a guy that can be a good fit?
Well, I mean, if you want to go like a sleeper in the draft, South Carolina State has a kid.
A okay.
Man, let me tell you something. This dude, he's 6'9", 305, 310 pounds, but he played basketball.
Ooh, he got sweet feet then.
Sweet feet.
Sweet
feet. Yeah. His name is Alex Taylor. We're going to have him on the show next week. But he's down there in Tampa training with Redell Anthony. I saw him in Mobile. He's someone that, you know, initially, of course, going against, you know, you're going against a guy who may be driving a bus next year. As opposed to a guy like Khalil Mack. It's going to be different. So it's going to take some time. But I think he's a guy that could come in. This draft is pretty deep. You got Trey Adams out of Washington. I think second, third round, you could get that guy, another monster, you know, at right tackle. So free agency-wise, man, forget it. I don't think you're going to
– Is there anybody on the free agent market, that if Conklin leaves, that would be a better fit than Dennis Kelly to play right tackle for the Titans?
I don't think so, because here's the deal. Unless a team is just totally cash-strapped, they're not letting a guy go. I mean, if the Titans had money – like, for sure, didn't have a whole bunch of other things, we wouldn't even be discussing Jack Conley. We'd know, okay, he's coming back. But in this situation, the Jets, you know, are apparently going to go after him heavy. Drew Rosenhaus is apparently going to market him as a left tackle. So it's a unique situation, but typically good free agent offensive linemen, they don't become free agents.
Who, does Drew have him? He's got Drew?
Yeah, uh-huh. Drew has him. Yeah.
The deal will be done quick.
See, this goes back to an interesting piece you wrote at ESPN.com, TD, that was your bold prediction for the Titans in the offseason is that both Henry and Tannehill get re-signed without tags. If that happens, that's a big key because then that allows them to use the franchise tag on Jack Conklin. And I think if they get to that point – to where they don't have to tag Henry or Tannehill, it is a foregone conclusion that Jack Conklin gets the franchise tag.
And if you use the franchise tag, that's $16.1 million. Jack Conklin is 25 years old. Damn. Offensive lineman. Why not give him a 4 or 5 year deal? Yeah. He's 25 years old. Yes, he had the knee situation, but he appears to be totally back from that. Yeah. Right? And you look at some of the trendsetters from the offensive line standpoint. Lane Johnson, look. I will stand on top of this table and tell you he's the best right tackle in football. And I won't even have a conversation with you about it. Right? So he signed 4 years, $72 million, had 54 guaranteed. He just signed that. Trent Brown, 4 years, $65 million, 36 guaranteed. Juwan James, an injury-prone guy in Denver, 4 years, $51 million. Lyle Collins, 5 years, $50 million with 35 guaranteed. Why not go 5 years, $75 million, guaranteed 60 for Jack Conklin? Why not do that? Because you know that in Conklin and Taylor Lewan, hey, left and right, it's settled. Yeah. It's done. So that's what I do with Conklin.
I always love the stability in the offensive line because it takes so long, and we saw it this year, takes so long for you to get any kind of a feel for who you're dealing with and where they're going, and then you throw a rookie in the middle of that, and they, you know, the way that kid ended up the season was unbelievable because, I mean, he started with zip. I mean, he had no camp, he had no training, he went to small school. I mean, he had so much to learn. I was watching him a little bit today in the championship game. I mean, he goes out there and plays. He does some stuff now. He's a good knee bender, good athletic, good balance. Yeah. So, but I'm all for keeping those offensive linemen.
That continuity is key along the offense. You have to have it, you know.
Look at the Colts.
Yeah.
The last 2 years, why have they been so successful? It's because they built up that offensive line. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you build up that offensive line, just like you said, it's put together and nobody's going anywhere. So they work together. And that's why they're so successful. And if the Tennessee Titans can do that, they can be pretty good.
And I think that, I mean, the two places that I always felt on the football field where you have to have that is in the line and the secondary. Yeah. And it's more important in the line than it is the secondary, only because it happens so much faster. Yeah. You know, it's everybody's arm length away.
You know, it's
not like you can be backing up, yelling, third, and, you know, maybe the guy can get back. But, I mean, if you're in pass protection, by the time you get one word out, quarterback just get killed. So that's an area that is really, really, the stability is vital.
Now, it was a lot more fun this past year when the Titans ended up in the AFC Championship game. But it was a lot more fun in the drafts in the past years when they had the fifth pick and the first pick and the third pick. Titans are sitting there at 29. But if John Robinson is of any indication, it doesn't mean that's going to stop him from getting a good player. Derrick Henry was a second rounder. A.J. Brown was a second rounder, so on and so forth. So coming up next on the Titans offseason preview show, where do Floyd and TD see the Titans being able to improve this team in the 2020 draft? We'll get to that next, plus a position of need, maybe a position of strength in this draft. We'll address that at the Titans offseason preview show on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
One thing I don't think that's going to change at all, Mel, is the number of wide receivers that will go in the first round. Right now you have six. People are already talking historically about this may be one of the deepest wide receiver drafts we've ever seen.
Yeah, Devontae Smith from Alabama would have been in that group, and then add another name to that list. He's going back to Alabama. But I think the debate's going to be Jerry Jeudy, Alabama, CeeDee Lamb, Oklahoma, to see who will be the first receiver taken. I have Lamb going to Oakland, Jeudy going to Indianapolis. But I think when you look at the speed factor, Henry Ruggs III may end up being the fastest player in this draft. So I think overall, KJ Hamler, maybe a little Hollywood Brown comparison there. I have him going in the late first. I think the Green Bay Packers obviously need more weapons than Devontae Adams. Hamler from Penn State, I think, would be a guy who would help that offense and help Aaron Rodgers add to that arsenal a bit, which is what they need.
Mel Kiper Jr. says the wide receivers in this class are going to be outstanding. And when you hear some of the names, I kind of agree with him. Jared Stillman, Teron Davenport, Chris Sanders, Floyd Reese on the Titans offseason preview show. We know wide receiver might be a need for the Titans, maybe a fit in the draft. So, Floyd, we'll start with you, but I want to know where both you and TD see this team being able to really improve with the upcoming 2020 draft.
Improve? You know, the draft, this is the way I always thought. The draft ends up being played off of what you do in free agency. Mm-hmm. So you go out in free agency and you want a speed receiver. Well, there's no speed receiver out there. You know, nobody that you really. So instead of signing a guy that's almost a speed receiver or somebody that you are hoping is a speed receiver, I would say forget that. We'll go to the draft. And this year in the draft, I mean, there's a whole slew of speed receivers. Mm-hmm. So you could say, all right, that's the way we'll cover it. And that may end up being your first pick. The thing after you get your free agency all settled up, when you're picking at 29, this is the way I always felt. And we've seen this, I think, the last 2 years in both Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown. We got to the second round. In my mind, there were other people there that they wanted from a need standpoint, position standpoint. But when they got to those players, they said, "Ooh, wait a minute now.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. We may not need this, but." and drafted them both, and they were. And I think that's where you are at 29. We'll go in there and we're going to say, okay, we need this pass rusher from Penn State. That's the guy we're going to eyeball. And then all of a sudden, I mean, this has never happened, but, you know, one of those, the receiver from Alabama is there. And all of a sudden you go, you know what? I really, really like this pass rusher, but guy is going to be an all-pro for, you know, 7-8 years. So I think that's the way it ends up happening at 29. You can't – there are too many people being taken and too many trades and too many things going on for you to sit there and say, okay, this is what I'm going to take. Now, you have 2-3 hopes, prayers, but then you have to be able to say to yourself – you know, I may not need a center, but that guy is the best center that's come out in the last 10 years, and that's who I'm drafting.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I'm so anti-draft specifically for need. Mm-hmm. I used to be a 49ers fan, and I remember the year after they lost to the Ravens in the Super Bowl, they drafted A.J. Frippin Jenkins. I was a fan then, so I tried to talk myself into it. Yeah. And finally, I just was like, that was a bad pick. So you're right. You don't draft just for need. Mm-hmm. And I think when you look at 29, you really can go best player available. You really can. And there's always somebody that falls.
Oh, yeah.
There's always somebody. So you just have to see how that matches. But that being said, you know, at 29, I think, you know, a guy like a Terrell Lewis could be there. The Penn State edge guy.
Eter Gross Mata.
Yeah. Listen.
Who Mel Kiper Jr. has the Titans taking in his official mock draft.
Here's the thing. I watched Penn State games just specifically. I was like, man, I got to see what this guy is about.
Yeah. Is he the real deal?
No. There were so many times. Like, if I'm using a first-round pick on a pass rusher, I need something at least every other series. You know, there's times I'm watching and I ended up on my phone. I ended up, you know, going and making a cup of tea. Like, it's like he disappears too much. Mm. Uber athletic. But then you have, you know, these things as far as background that could come out. I don't know that I go that route. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think when you look at some of the guys available to them, production is always something that it's relative, right? Mm-hmm. But I think a guy who gets sacks, a lot of sacks, mm-hmm. I think it shows me that he knows how to get to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Bradley Anae, again, going back to Vrabel's affinity for Max Crosby, high energy, gym rat, gritty.
Where's Bradley Anae from?
Bradley Anae from Utah, 30.5 career sacks. I have about 6 games right here in my laptop, all 22. I love watching end zone view of that dude getting after the quarterback. Mm-hmm. So he's someone, and I talked to him in Mobile. He said that the Titans have met with him. Coincidentally, his agent is the same agent as Kamala Kure's agent, David Cantor. So we'll see how that whole thing works out. But I think he's a guy as an edge rusher. Jonathan Greenard is another one that stands out. Perfect scenario, they get their hands on Kalyvon Chaisson, but you know what? I doubt he's going to be out of the top 15, top 20. Yeah. But those are some edge guys.
Well, let me ask you a question. Just say they're sitting at 29, and those guys you just mentioned are say they're sitting at 23. Could you see J-Rob trading up to go get those guys?
I think Chaisson is somebody I would trade up to go get. Because just as far as the guy, you know, Chase Young is in a class of his own. But after that, you know, Epenesa from Iowa, you know, we talked about the Penn State. I'm not going to butcher his name.
Eter Gross-Matos.
There you go. I'm just going to hit a button and you're going to say we talk about that. Those guys are all like right there, but I still think Chaisson is the best full toolbox rushing the passer, and he will play the run. I think he matches. Ideally, that's the prospect that falls, you know, in that range that they could trade up to get.
What do we think of how successful John Robinson has been in the second round? And not that I would look for a name at this point that the Titans could pluck in the second round, but the second and third rounds, you're talking about guys like Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown and Kevin Byard and Austin Johnson that have come in here with John Robinson as the general manager when he's had second-round picks and third-round picks, and he's found stars in those rounds as well as the first round. How can that play out in this draft?
I'll give you a guy, right? We talk about this corner situation that Chris, we were talking, was telling you about him. Listen, UCLA, Darnay Holmes is his name. This is a guy, he's going to run in the 4-3, so, you know, he got the speed to burn. But I always like guys who went up against other guys who are going to be playing on Sunday. I always watching those guys.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, he turned and ran step for step with Marquise Brown. Not too many guys are doing that. He held his own against a bigger receiver in Nikhil Harry, a 6'4 receiver, right? You saw him go against Michael Pittman Jr. as well, another big receiver. If you watch him over and over again, he checks the boxes going against those guys. He's one of those corners. I don't know about you, Chris, there were corners like that I played, had to practice against even, where, you know what, we weren't going to get out of a practice without fighting.
Oh, me and Chris Dishman. Remember Chris Dishman?
Oh, yeah. So you know what I'm saying? Like those feisty guys that always, as I told T. Brock, to me, I said, man, if you and I were on the same team, we'll fight every day. And he just cracked up because you have certain guys that just – are feisty and know how to just kind of just they're always there with you and they just get on your nerve. That's Darnay Holmes, right? And he actually is he's cool with Adoree Jackson. He's a California guy, went through a lot, you know, as far as his story, you know, 15 years old, one of his friends got shot and killed. So he's a guy that has character, but then he just has that appreciation for football and that grit. He and Van Jefferson,
Van's a dude,
going at it in Mobile, going at it and talking back and forth. I really like him. And on top of that, he is a guy that could return for you.
So
he answers a couple bells. I think he's someone. Noah Igbinogene, showing off a little bit. Yeah.
Todd McShay has him going to the Titans. I could not pronounce that.
You know this, I didn't say the Auburn corner. Like I said, corner. Penn State. But, you know, he's another one that could turn and run. He has some really good games also. He's a guy that I could see them getting in the second round too.
Coming up next, I have a handful of quick questions in front of me that may define the Titans offseason. We'll discuss those next. Our final thoughts on the 2020 Titans offseason as it gets set to get kicked off here shortly with the Combine coming up later this month. Chris Sanders, Floyd Reese, TD, Teron Davenport. It's the Titans offseason preview show on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It's my teammates. Some of you guys here, Derek, I know Ben's here somewhere. Man, thank you guys. I think I had more fun this year playing football than I've had my whole life. You know, it's pretty cool. It can happen when a group of guys can put their egos aside, really and truly believe in each other, and come to work every single day to chase greatness. So I thank you guys. We came together as a team. It was special, and I'll always remember that. The Titan organization, John Robinson, Mike Vrabel, just thank you for believing in me and giving me an opportunity. And I win this award. It has me reflecting on a lot of ups and downs, crazy year, all the adversity I faced, not only this year, but my whole career. And I wouldn't change any of it. You go through everything for a reason, and I wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't go through that, not as a player, but more importantly, as a man. So thank you for everyone who supported me along the way. It's my incredible family for always being in my corner. Thank you.
Ryan Tannehill, Titans quarterback, also NFL comeback player of the year. It's the Titans offseason preview show, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Got my Titans experts, former Titan receiver Chris Sanders, former Titans general manager Floyd Reese, and of course, TD Teron Davenport, right there, is with us as always. So I got I've got a handful of questions I think are very important questions. We're going to go, each guy's going to have about 30 seconds or so, maybe a little bit more, however long it takes you to answer. But I think questions that are big and will define the Titans offseason. So who wants to go first with the first question?
I'll do my Ricky Henderson.
TD, going to kick us off.
Lead up.
I think big question is being able to retain two of your top four free agents at the minimum and still having a way to address other things on the roster. That's the biggest question, because what we're really going to have to do is decide, okay, are you going to address pass rush or are you going to address pass protection? Unfortunately for them, it's like, okay.
I would like them to do both.
They may be able to do it, but it's going to cost them somewhere else. So I think that's really the key. That's my big question for the Titans and this offseason.
I think my big question is, are they going to keep Conklin? I think Conklin is a big piece of this offense. I know we talk about Henry. I know we talk about getting a speedy wide receiver. But if we let Conklin go, you got to bring somebody in. Mm-hmm. He's got to learn the system and do it all over. So I think the big key and the big question that I have is, are they going to sign Conklin back?
I mean, I think in the position they're in, they're at the point in their maturation where they're going to be competing for the playoffs on a yearly basis, or should be, which means you always got a chance to get the invite to the big dance. You get the invite to the big dance, maybe you end up, you know, the king of the ball. Mm-hmm. We don't know that. But at least you've got a chance. What is it that's going to get them over the hump? Mm-hmm. What position? Because all these choices are going to be easy from a standpoint of logic and, you know, money, and, well, if I don't pay this guy, that means I can sign two of these guys. Maybe that's not the best. You know, maybe it's better to sign the one. And I think J-Rob and Vrabel's challenge this year is to sit down and be sure that you know, when you're picking through these guys, that you're getting the right guys for the right reasons. Because it's not – you can't have everybody. Nobody can ever have everybody. But – you don't want to get in a situation similar to where we were this year, where, you know, you get a couple of corners knocked down, you're in the championship game and you have no pass rush, and you end up losing another game for the same reasons. You know, you need to go in, you need to say, okay, here's an area we need to address, whatever that may be.
So I have a couple of questions for you guys, and I think we'll start with TD on this. How will the Titans address backup quarterback? Obviously, Tannehill's in as the starting quarterback. Mariota will go. Do they take a failed starter? Do they take a career backup a la Chase Daniel? Or do they draft a guy later in the draft to sit behind Ryan Tannehill?
Jalen Hurts.
Oh, stop it. Why you take my smoke?
I'll give it back to you then. I think, you know, Jalen Hurts, yeah, Jacob Eason, I could see him going that route. So I'll give you Jalen Hurts back. I'll say Jacob Eason. He's a developmental guy. He you know, fits all the – actually, you know what? Forget that.
I already know where you're going. Don't say it.
Bryce Perkins, quarterback, Virginia. You could get him in the sixth, seventh round. I think he is someone, his brother's Paul Perkins, who running back from UCLA, mm-hmm. played for the Giants. His dad played ball. His uncle played for the Cowboys. But I had him on the show yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I'll say this. Watch the Florida game, mm-hmm. the bowl game. He's all right. Mm-hmm. And he's something that I love in a quarterback. He's not scared.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I'm going to go that route. Jacob Eason is definitely an option. I'm going to say Bryce Perkins. Get him in here. He's an athletic guy. You don't have to change anything as far as the scheme is concerned. He'll work the play action. He'll run spread. He'll do whatever you want. Bryce Perkins, Virginia.
I'm going with two. I did like the Jalen Hurts, but I'm going to give that smoke back to you.
Okay. But, I'll take it.
I like Jake Fromm. I know y'all hate him from Georgia. I know you hate it. But the reason why I say that, I know he struggled last year. But he's still a pocket passer, and he has a little bit of athleticism. That's why, okay. I say that. And then another guy I like is Jordan Love from Utah State.
Hey, you're speaking my language.
You see what I'm saying? Guys that are kind of pocket passers that also have a little bit of athletic ability. So if you want to do that play action, kind of like what Tannehill is doing. So I would go with those two guys.
What direction do you think they go in, backup quarterback?
I don't. If they sign Tannehill back, that means, in my mind, they're committed to Tannehill for at least 3 years. Maybe four, but probably three. So you don't necessarily need to get a quarterback this year if you can get the pass rusher that you need. Now, you're going to have to get a quarterback, and it's not going to be anybody that you're going to want to take to the prom. Yeah. You're not going to be proud about it. But
that's a late night phone call. Yeah, that
was. It's a late night call. But it'll be somebody that can take the snap and run the system and do all that. So, but if you can't get it this year, if there's somebody out there, like he says, a six-round guy, great, bring him in. Just give him a couple of years, teach him, and get him ready. If not, I wouldn't be afraid to say, okay, you know, quarterback, we're going to have to wait till next year. And if you do a good job of filling your pass rush, filling your speed receiver, and do well next year, you'll have the luxury of saying, okay, time for us to look for the future.
We stick with you. Corey Davis's fifth-year option will have to be either picked up or declined this offseason. We know they'll probably pick up Adoree Jackson's. Do they pick up Davis's fifth-year option? And if they don't, what's the future for Corey Davis?
I don't think they do. I'm just guessing. It may not mean anything. You know, I mean, I think if you sat Corey down and talked to Corey, and I don't know Corey at all, but and you said, hey, here, you know, you're the fifth pick. And rightly, wrongly, indifferently, that label is with you forever, which means that you are expected to perform at a certain level. You are not doing that. Therefore, we doesn't mean we don't love you. Doesn't mean we don't want you back. Doesn't mean so that he understands you know, the performance, because his, I don't know what his number is, but the number for next year is
going to be huge.
Sizable, yeah. And I would explain to him, hey, well, you know what? We're trying to sign Daniel. We're trying to sign Derek. We're trying to sign all these guys. And we can't pick up your option with that. And now, next year, we'll have more money. We'll be talking to you.
Who would have a better year, Tarjay Sharpe or Corey Davis?
My gut tells me Davis, but is it Sharpe?
It was Tarjay Sharpe. Tarjay Sharpe. I mean, Davis had more catches, but Tarjay Sharpe had more touchdowns. So who's more productive? So in me, I would let Corey Davis walk, and I hate to say that, is because just like you said, he's going to have that number one, that number five pick over his head over
forever,
his head. Yeah. And he just hasn't lived up to it. I hate to say that, but you got to let him go.
Yeah, I don't think they pick up the option. I think it's basically the same situation as Jack Conklin. So I don't think they pick it up. Real quick on the quarterback, they really like Logan Woodside. So he's someone else to put in the mix. But yeah,
there you go.
I think if you look at this draft, you want big guys, you want speed guys, you want slot guys,
got
you want
all.
Do it all. It's Baskin Robbins, 31 flavors. You know, you get whatever you want in the receiver. So I think that will allow them to not pick it up.
And it's good. One of the things that I do like about the receiver position now is at least everybody's giving you a little something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not. We used to go for a year where you would have two receivers playing, and you don't even know who that third receiver was.
No idea.
You know, never made a play for you. These guys are at least getting out there making plays.
Quickly, yes or no, we go around. Delanie Walker, does he return for another season with the Titans, Chris?
Oh, okay. No.
Floyd?
No.
TD?
Not on that deal.
No.
Oh, definitely not on that deal. He's wondering if he...
I'm going to say no. No.
And then the final one, Dennis Kelly. Does he return to the Titans? We talk a lot about Conklin. Kelly's also a free agent.
If they sign Conklin, no, because they have David Quesenberry who could do similar things. If they don't sign Conklin, yes, I think he returns.
I say yes.
I hope he does. He's a great backup, man.
Yeah,
oh, man, he's sure big. He reminds me.
He played multiple positions.
Matthews. Remember when we had Matthews play both? Like, great guy. Mm-hmm.
So the Titans will have the 29th pick. The scouting combine will come up in a couple of weeks in Indianapolis. That will then lead into free agency, which opens the first day. We expect the Titans to be not only active with their own guys, but also to maybe be a little active with what the other guys are doing out there, and then comes the NFL draft from Las Vegas, where they will not do as good of a job as we did hosting the draft by any means. All of you guys, I appreciate
You're
you guys.
Welcome,
this was
sir.
The easiest
this
show I've
fun.
Ever
it
hosted.
Was.
I just let you guys talk it up, and I stayed out of the way. That's going to do it for us. This has been the Titans Offseason Preview Show on ESPN 102.5 The Game.